Diaries of a Dyke.
Samuel Levi, everybody. I'll let you.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, where are you at the moment? Because I'm so confused.
I'm in Melbourne now.
In Melbourne, Australia. Okay.
Yes, I'm in Melbourne, Australia. So last time I saw you, it was, obviously I was in Auckland and I came off the back of the show Maps and you interviewed me a few times.
Yes, married at first sight.
It's 2 years ago now, 2018.
Jeez, that long.
Yeah,
ago.
Or maybe a year and a half ago. Yeah, a year and a half ago it was.
Okay, what's happening in Oz? We'll get onto maths later on, but what's happening in Aussie at the moment with like COVID-19 and stuff?
No, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm seeing all the news back home in New Zealand, seeing what Jacinda Ardern's doing, and I think it's amazing here. You've still got people walking the streets, you've still got people trying to go to the beach. Like, it's crazy. But in a way, I can understand why the government are doing that. I'm not into politics at all, and I don't even really understand it, but I know that I guess they have to keep the economy going, and they have to try to keep as much people as working and as normal as possible. So I think that's why they've allowed that to happen, really.
Good old Auntie Jacinda over here. She's so boss. She's the best. She's
making headlines everywhere.
Oh, honestly, I just... After this lockdown, if I ever got to meet her, I'll just want to give her a massive hug, just for everything she does. And she's just so real when she does it all.
Well, she's actually a big advocate for the LGBTI community herself.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to get her on the podcast. I would love to. I'd probably be like shit in my pants. I probably wouldn't know what to say.
I just slide into her DMs to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She'd probably be on there as well, eh? She's real into Instagram.
Yeah.
Over here, she's doing like her lives and just kind of like touching in with everyone and making sure that everyone's like okay and all good and answering any questions, even how dumb they are. So she's
so cool, good. Right? It literally just reminds you of your auntie just being in the lounge.
Yeah.
Just being in the lounge on FaceTime.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I could ask her anything and she would be like, yep, I'll answer that no matter how dumb it was. So.
Yeah.
That's a great
Even though she probably wants to say, shut the F up.
Yeah, probably. Tell us about you while we're here, because people are listening. We're like, who's Samuel Levi? Yeah. I'll let you chat. You take the mic.
Who is Samuel Levi? Samuel Levi is that gay dude that was on Married at First Sight in 2018. I think that's how a lot of people will recognize that name or this voice that I hate. But yeah, no, I think a lot's happened. I moved to Melbourne 8 months ago now. I moved to Australia, Melbourne, with some opportunities here. I guess after the back of the show, it did help with the avenue that I ended up taking with media. I was doing some radio stuff here. And now I've literally just, as of a week ago, launched my beauty brand, which literally in 6 days sold out. I was literally, like, I'm still like gobsmacked now. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I was not expecting that at all. Like, literally, social media has such a massive pull on some people's success, and I think it's really worked for me.
Cool, that's so amazing. So, yeah, congratulations
thank you. It's a little like it's weird. I'm still gobsmacked, actually. Like, I was watching, like, because obviously I can see the back end of my website and like the whole online platform, and it was just like blowing up, and I thought it was a joke at the start, but then I was like, actually this can't be a joke. Like, it's weird. It just went off. This is going to be a really some people are going to be hate me saying this, but although COVID-19 has affected so many people in certain ways, it's actually helped me and my success in my business, which is really weird and a strange thing to say. I never thought that a situation like this would help me.
I guess everybody's on their phones, you know, and you can still buy online. And it is sad. Like, I'm not taking anything away from people that may have lost their jobs or, you know, anything with COVID-19, but, you know, you've got to use what you can at that time. And if that's your avenue and, you know, you're sitting there and you could either go two ways. You could be like, shit, should I not launch? Should I launch? Just do it. Like, just do it. You know, on their phones, use it. Use it as an opportunity. You know, I know there are a lot of people that are like struggling with this kind of lockdown and all that. And you shouldn't compare the way that you're using your time to anybody, but hey, if you can be productive and you can sell stuff online, all power to you. Like,
yeah, exactly. And because I was always going to launch. I had my marketing plan and everything in place, and I was always going to launch around this time. And it just happened, this COVID-19 happened. And I was like, shit. I was like, do I do it? Is people going to buy it? Like, and you know, it's like, I've worked on this for so long now. Like, there's no point not doing it. It's a risk. And literally it just blew up. Fucking worth taking.
Yeah. So your are they eyelashes?
So they're magnetic eyelashes.
Wow. Wait. Okay. Please explain. Cause I mean, I'm terrible with like beauty regimes and everything, but I saw it pop up and I was like, what the heck are magnetic eyelashes? I've never heard of them before. And where did you come up with that idea?
So I've always been into, it's probably me. It's probably like going back into me being gay. I've always been into beauty and I've always kind of been that, not that bitchy person who judges people's makeup and all that kind of stuff. But I do, I look at people and I critique and I'm like, oh, you could do this better, or this looks good and blah, 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 blah. But I know that a lot of females wear eyelashes, and I also hear a lot of people either complain about extensions, lash extensions, which can be bad for your eyes, but they're amazing as well, so I'm not knocking them. And then also the struggles of glue, where a lot of people don't like using glue, or they don't know how to put it on, or it goes into their eyes, or it's messy when you take it off. So with this system that I have worked with, it is a magnetic eyeliner, so it's literally just like any female, well, I guess if you're used to makeup, any female will know how to put eyeliner on properly. So you literally apply your eyeliner on, whether it's a wing look or whatever look you want to go for, and then you let that dry for about 1 to 2 minutes, and then you place the eyelashes on top of it. And because the eyelashes have little magnets in the back of it, it just literally clicks, sticks in place.
Wow, that's impressive.
Pretty cool.
And so are they like, kind of, you just take them off at the end of the night and dispose of them? Like, are they kind of one-time things?
No, so they're reusable. They're reusable. So as long as you look after them, I guess like any lashes, as long as you look after them, clean them afterwards with, I guess, like just a soft tissue. It could just be with water or any makeup removal wipe. Place it back into the reusable case that they come in, and you can reuse it up to 30 times if you look after them well.
Wow, you've thought of everything.
I have. I think a lot of women are like, how did a male think of this? Or how is a male doing this? And I have no idea.
Yeah, that's good. Good from you. I just had a really bad experience with eyelashes one time.
Oh, really?
I had you know when they put in the individual eyelashes with like the glue and stuff like that?
Yes, that little flare cluster, the little clusters, like the little separate ones.
Yeah, so, you know, they were doing it individually. And like pretty much all my eyelashes fell out when they came out. So
well,
I don't know.
That's the thing. That happens to a lot of people, which a lot of people don't realize. And that's why I was like, well, I might as well create something where your eyelashes aren't going to fall out. And if you don't like them, or if you don't want to wear them one day, just leave them in the case. And then if you want to wear them for a night out, just pull them out.
Cool. What's your, give a little plug, where can people find the eyelashes if they want?
A little plug. One Figure Beauty, so they can just look at One Figure Beauty online or onefigurebeauty.com on the website. I really wanted it to just stand out and be different and appeal to a certain market as well.
Well, that must be why they're selling out the door. So that's cool. Have you always kind of wanted to be like an entrepreneur or?
Always, yes. I've always wanted to, look, the freaking easiest way is I hate answering to someone. That's probably the easiest way to say. I hate answering to someone. And if someone tells me what to do, I tell them to F right off. And yeah, it's weird. I just hate answering to people. And I've always been like that growing up. And I just thought, like, I guess for the past couple of years, I've always just kind of worked for myself, freelancing. And then this kind of idea and concept came up in the past, like, 12 to 18 months. And I really worked on it and just kind of, what's the word, like, nutted it out. Is that the right way of saying it?
Yeah, sure.
Nutted it out. It's actually a really weird term in the gay world as well. but I just kind of nutted it out and just... I know. And just kind of did it. I just went with my instinct, went with my gut and just put everything I had into it. And it's just been a success so far. It's week one now. And let's hope it just continues.
Yeah, 100%. So let's go back to when you said, you know, you don't really like to answer to anyone and all that. What was your, like, your childhood like? Tell us about, like, your childhood and growing up, family life, where you're from.
So I'm a Westie. I'm a Westie in Auckland. Grew up in Piha Beach.
We're so...
Because you're Westie. Are you Westie as well?
No, I'm South. South Auckland. I'm perfectly the same. I've lived everywhere, but born and bred in South.
Oh, no, I've lived everywhere as well. But, I was born and bred in West Auckland. Upbringing was good. I mean, I had two solo single parents as well, so mum and dad weren't together, but I'd always go between both and managed to always just make that work. So I think a lot of people think, or no, I know, a lot of people looked at how possibly I was portrayed on a TV show and how things were put together, and they saw me as possibly this very spoiled, maybe, I'm pretty sure, and I don't even care if some people don't agree, this wealthy, young, homosexual boy. Literally, and it's the total opposite. Like, I'm half Samoan. Most of my family are in Otara, in South Auckland. Yeah.
What? You're part Samoan?
Yeah, half.
I didn't know that. I
had
idea. So, okay, who's Sar? Mum or Dad?
Dad.
That's crazy. So, I had no idea. Well,
I didn't know. But you're half as well.
Well, I'm half Cook Islander. I'm half Rarotongan. So same, you know, our fair skin.
Yeah, so I'm not too, half caste. And because I'm a twin as well, because I've got a twin brother, he obviously took the more island genes. He got the more darker features than I did. But yeah, no, I grew up, I would go to Samoa 2-3 times a year to kind of be brought down to earth and know my roots and live in the bloody valley. When I'm over there, like, I understand that whole side of things. And it's weird because all my cousins are black, brown. And I can say that because that's me.
Yeah. So, okay, cool.
It's a lot of people just think I was just this white boy growing up, privileged. Definitely not. I've worked my ass off to be exactly where I am today.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the struggles of my parents when I was growing up.
Are you close? Are you close to your parents?
I am, yes. Yeah. Took a while. I'm definitely close with them. But then I also am such an individual person where I kind of just do my own thing as well. And then sometimes I forget. I'll be like, oh, shit, I haven't called mum this week, or I haven't spoken to dad. I better give them a quick call. Because I'm just so caught up in my own world at the moment with what I'm doing and trying to succeed with.
So going back to that, did they always know that you were gay?
No. So I've actually got a gay sister.
Wow, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've got a lesbian sister. So I think that kind of made it easier for my transition of coming out. So I thank her. She did the hard yards. And then I just came out at 21 and was like, oh, I'm gay. And then, but they did take it hard. They did actually take it to heart, especially mum.
Okay, why was that?
I think she thought, I think they always question, she's like, is it something I did? I'm like, no, it's not. Like, she always thought something like that. And I was like, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's just me. And this is what I like. And this is who I am. And as soon as I actually came out, I was living in Sydney at the time for 2 years. It was like, holy shit, it was like a brick taken off my shoulder. It was ridiculous. Like, I still remember the day when I did it, and it was just like, yeah, it's just like your world changes.
How old were you when
21.
Okay, so
21, so it's been 5 years.
So before, like, leading up until you were 21, you were like suppressing your feelings, you didn't have any boyfriends.
I never had any boyfriends. I was always in relationships with females, even two long-term ones. And then I think when I moved to Sydney, actually was weird enough for a modeling contract. And I moved there, and then that kind of finished, and I stayed there. And I guess kind of I had this inkling. I guess I'd look at guys and be like, "Oh, he's fucking hot!" And I didn't really know what was going on. And then one thing leads to another. You start experimenting. You start going out to gay bars, and then you just start mingling in that circle. And then I realized, "Holy shit! I'm so comfortable in this environment. This is who I am." I didn't even question it. I was like, "This is who I am. This is me." I did wait a little while to kind of really understand who I was and if it was a phase or not to tell my parents and my family. And then I realized it wasn't a phase, and I was actually comfortable with myself, and then I just told them, which I was fortunate enough it went well, and everything's been great since. But I know a lot of people it's not as easy.
When you were in the relationship with a woman, did you ever have any kind of like inkling, or was anything, did anything kind of feel different, like not right?
I think like, wait, how is this, I can be as open as I can on this.
Yeah, go for it. Completely, this is a real platform. We've had a whole lot on this, trust me.
Yeah, oh God. No, I think, I was it's so weird. Like, I don't know if I was having sex with females just to cover up that maybe deep down I was insecure with myself, but I was having sex with so many females. I was going out there. I was just being a typical teenage boy. And then when I got into these long-term relationships, it just felt normal at the time. And I think I tell people it felt normal at the time. It was when I left those relationships and I started exploring, I guess, my sexuality, was when I was like, holy shit, like, how did I enjoy that? Because I can't go back to vagina now because I'm not into it. Like, it's weird. Like, it's so weird. Like, so I cannot go back to it because that just, I look at a picture and I'm like, oh, yuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But like, I'm so lucky that, or maybe I'm not lucky, it's a blessing and a curse, that I'm just so open. I'm just such an open book where if someone asks me a question, I'm just like, yes, no, I just say how it is, which can be bad and sometimes good as well.
Nah, I feel you on that open book. It kind of, yeah, like you said, it can be good, it can be bad, but I mean, you are who you are unapologetically, so that's cool.
And there's no point, I think you live once, you might as well be happy, you might as well say what you want, to a reason, to reason, or behind closed doors. And yeah, just be you and happy. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, 100%. So can we chat about like the first experience with a guy and how that felt for you? Like, what did you
know? What the funny thing is, no, I've had this question before. I cannot remember my first experience, which is fucking weird, isn't it? I think I probably was. It would have been, yeah, 100%, I would have been drunk. but I cannot, I don't know why I was thinking, I was actually, maybe I think when you told me I was going to do this podcast with you, I was trying to think, I was like, oh shit, I could not remember. Because not going to lie, since my first experience, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been one hell of a lot. Shit, no, I can't even remember. And I wish I freaking could, because that would be a bloody good story, but I can't.
What about like the first kiss? Because like, did you have a moment where you did something with a male and you're like, oh God, this is what it's supposed to feel like?
I think probably during my time in Sydney. Yeah, probably during my time in Sydney when I was experimenting more and then trying things with different guys all the time. Not all the time, but trying things with different guys. And then I guess seeing that connection you have with different guys and the different, I guess, sexual connections that you have. I know it's a really weird thing to say, but the sexual connections you have, one's possibly more stronger and more passionate than one you just know is a one-night stand and it's just like a tap and gap. Like, I think I kind of really understood that kind of thing and understood even what I like sexually. What I like sexually and what I feel comfortable and what gets me off. I know it sounds so fucking weird.
Nah,
but what, yeah, you kind of experiment and you kind of, yeah, it's weird. But I'm fully like, fully comfortable in my skin now, fully know exactly what I want in someone. Even coming up the back of maps, I know exactly what I want in someone. I know what I don't want, which is a blessed, which is actually a real bad thing because some people think I'm a cunt.
I guess it's just you. I'm just confident. Don't apologize for that.
I'm just confident. Yeah, I'm just confident in what I want now and who I want as a partner, both sexually and physically and everything.
Let's go to maths then, since you're on the topic. Married at First Sight New Zealand. a couple of years ago, you were on that good old reality TV show. Most people know about it. You were the first gay couple on it, weren't you?
No, so we were the second season. So we were the second gay couple, but we were the first. And I think that's an achievement for the LGBT community. We were the first ever gay couple in the whole franchise in the world to stay together and be a successful marriage. Everyone, I think there's been a few in Australia. There's been now three in New Zealand. I think there's some in like Denmark, America. It's all around. It's like 36 countries or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. So when you were on there, what made you want to do? I know I've asked you this before, but for people listening, they're like, why the heck would you want to go and marry a stranger on television? Such a cliche question, but I'll let you answer it.
To be honest, I did it as a joke. I applied, I kind of just kind of said yes as a joke, thinking I was not going to get on that. Mm. And then they kind of did approach me further and they're like, no, we want you on it. And I just came out of a long-term relationship with my ex-partner of nearly 3 years.
Is it a male or female?
So it was literally male. So he was my first ever partner, brought home to my parents, everything like that. Still friends with him now, so it's great.
Oh, that's cool.
But at the time, he left me bloody heartbroken. We were both a mess. And in a way, and I've spoken about this with him, in a way, I did it because I knew how much he hated the show. And that kind of concept, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm not going to get on it. I got on it, and the rest is history, really. And it all unraveled on national TV. It was a long fucking process, though. It was ridiculous, the process. It took like 6 to 7 months. From the first day of getting the, like, going on and getting the approach kind of thing to then my wedding.
Oh, wow. Okay. Little insight into reality television. Was it real?
Yeah,
how much of it was real? How much are you allowed to say?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, I'm out of contract, so it's fine.
Yes.
I'm out of contract. But then, look, I think, I actually thank them because at the time of watching the show, they showed, I was like, sounds like I'm tuning my own horn, but they kind of highlighted me a lot through the whole series. And made me a very lead, strong character, I don't know, like person, because I was very outspoken. I knew it to see how it was. Obviously, being the gay couple, they wanted to highlight that even more. And I think a lot of people were like, why did you get more airtime? Or why is there more media articles about you? And it's more like we're the only gay couple out of all the couples. So we already stand out from the rest. People know you as just a gay guy. They don't know you as, oh, the heterosexual couple. Or they'll be like, oh, which one was that? As soon as you say gay guy, they're like, oh, them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So that, but they really highlighted me and my personality, which I hated at the time. Watching it back, obviously it's been my first TV show. Watching it back, I was very like, holy shit. A lot of editing went in, and a lot of, they showed a lot of the bad moments rather than the good moments, as I guess we all expect that on TV, but when you're watching it back for the first time with the nation, I'm like on the edge of my seat, like, holy shit, like, what's going to happen next? I forget what happens, and I'm like, what are they going to pull now from one scene to another to, yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And my husband at the time got let off scot-free, which freaking annoyed me.
Because that, I can't even remember, it was so long ago, but when you came in, it ended quite badly, right? Well, you see, okay, this is the thing.
Yes.
I'm going to let you talk because you hear all the things in the media and the newspapers and the magazines, online, and, you know, he said this, he said that. But what mm-hmm. actually happened there? So you got married, right, at the end?
Yeah, so we got married. We stayed together. We were together for about 3-4 months after the show, like in real life. I went to LA as for Christmas, but that trip was actually planned. That trip was booked 12 months ago, the last Christmas, with friends. So it was already planned well before I knew I was going to marry. So I had this Christmas in LA, New Year's. Went there with a few friends. At the time, my husband at the time, I asked him if he wanted to come, but he couldn't because it was last minute. And I get it. It was expensive to go at that time of year, blah, blah, blah. Went over. And then literally I still remember that, it so annoys me. Like, I've got nothing against the dude at all anymore. Yeah. We're fine. He's probably just living his life back in Auckland. But at the time, I remember landing, and literally from that moment, communication stopped. Communication just started to stop, really, where texts were brought down to once a day, which some people were like, that's normal, but for us, it wasn't normal. Mm. And then I just kind of knew that there was a vibe that there was just something wrong, and I was trying to be positive because the way it was fucking ruining my holiday.
Yep.
This holiday that I was looking forward to. And then basically, long story short, come New Year's Eve, your guys' New Year's Eve, so we were a day behind in America because we were a day behind. Come your guys' New Year's Eve, I get a text from a friend who was at my wedding who walked into a bar and saw Taylor with another guy.
Oh!
Basically, and then it kind of just all spiraled downhill from there. And yeah, the rest is kind of history, which is kind of shit because I got highlighted as, I guess, the villain through the whole series. Even afterwards, I got so much backlash. Even to today, people, look, it's now airing in Australia. So repeats on like this 9Now here, and people think I'm this asshole, but they don't really know the full extent of what happened afterwards. So I released a statement, and it's, I did it because I just didn't want to answer anyone. I just kind of just posted something on my Instagram and Facebook and said my turn of events. Didn't even imply the fact that he cheated. I just said, I alluded to the fact that this is what I've been told. This is me. This is what's happened. And I guess he never came out and denied it and never answered or never did anything, which kind of, yeah, it was shit because we were actually moving in together.
Oh, man.
He was moving up to Auckland, which he is in Auckland now, but we're going to move into Auckland. But yeah, the rest, yeah, it's crazy. But I actually look at it now and I'm like, actually, thanks so much because you've did me a favor, because now I'm in Melbourne fucking killing it, and I've got all this stuff happening, and if it wasn't for that, I probably would still be in Auckland and back home in New Zealand focusing on this relationship. So yeah, I always think now things happen for a reason. But
I'm
annoyed how it did happen, and I am still annoyed to this day how I was portrayed. But I'm just like, oh, you guys gave me a platform, thank you. That's how I look at it now.
Yeah, well, exactly, ultimately. But it's also, did you find it quite hard, like, having a relationship in the public? Because obviously it was so public, and everybody knew about it. And I guess coming out the end of it, I feel like that gives people feel like they're entitled because, you know, they're watching you on television and they're going through all the steps with you.
Definitely. I think they all want to have a say in your relationship, and literally 50% of the people will like him, 50% of the people will like me, and then you're not going to please everyone, and then the gays will all want to chime in. Oh, they're the worst. Yeah, as much as I like am an advocate for the LGBTI community, at the same time, they were my biggest haters, they were my biggest critiques, they were the most nasty people during that time, which I'll never forget. No matter what age, even when I'm fucking 60 years old, I'll never forget that, because as much as we all want to support each other, they were the fucking worst. They were the most horrible people. Females were okay, actually, I must say. Females, lesbians were amazing. It was the gay dudes who, to this day, I cannot stand half of them in Auckland and in New Zealand.
Why do you think that is?
At the time, I always took it personally. I always took it personally and was like, oh, like they hate me. I did something wrong. But now I'm just like, you know what? I think they're jealous. And I know it sounds really stupid to say, and I think a lot of us, it's probably real cliche to say, but I think they're jealous. Possibly they wanted to have what I had and what my partner had, or comes down to they just wanted to be on TV themselves and they didn't get it. They probably applied for the show and got turned down, and then, yeah.
Because I have heard a lot of stories around this kind of stuff. And the thing that frustrates me is that, like, you know, ultimately you were providing a platform for the whole community. You know, you were the gay guy on the biggest reality television show in the country. Like, you were unapologetically yourself. You were, you know, being proud with your sexuality. And it's so shit that, you know, when you do that and you're brave enough to step out of your comfort zone and you do that, your own kind come and attack you where you think it's going to be old bloody Susan down the road or something like that. It's your own.
I would have thought that they would, you would think they'd be your biggest supporters. Like, oh, this guy's actually opening up the conversation for us on national TV, opening it up on radio, opening it up in print. But it's like, nah, social media was the worst. You'll get comments, you'll get messages. You'd see things under, like, let's say, freaking NZ Herald would do an article and they'd post it on their Facebook.
Yep.
The people under there commenting, all gay guys, all freaking queens, and all these people all want to say, or half the time. Actually, one thing I always found funny was there was a lot of people coming out saying, oh, I slept with him. I had no idea who that person was.
You're like,
I was
sorry?
Like, are you freaking kidding? Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, I get drunk, but I was not that drunk, yeah. But they all want to try connect something to you and find something that can relate them to you, and most of it's just horrible shit.
Man, people must have boring lives, eh? To have the energy and time to do that. That must have really affected your mental health as well.
Oh, definitely. I don't think I ever went through any mental health problems until I went on that show. And I've openly spoken about this after as well. Like, I was this bright, bubbly, still am now. It took me a while to get here, but I was this bright, bubbly person. Real confident. I was very confident in who I was. But coming off that show, for about 6 months, I remember talking about this actually. For 6 months, I lost nearly 10 kgs.
Oh, wow.
I lost nearly 10 kgs after the show with just stress. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't doing exercise because of just backlash. My mental health just went down, really. And I didn't really get the support from, I guess, the TV show afterwards. I didn't get the support from my husband. Then what happened with him cheating on me? It kind of just all spiraled. But then I picked myself up. I don't know why, I don't know how. I picked myself up and I just started smashing the gym, found passion for the gym, and then kind of just came back with this revenge Sam.
I remember seeing a picture on your Instagram of you shirtless, and I was like, I was scrolling on my Instagram, and then I did like the scroll, and then I stopped and I was like, sorry? Let's go back up. I was like, Samuel, you're hiding underneath that shirt, man. You got a good old 8-pack under there.
Yeah, I try my hardest. I mean, right now in isolation, it's freaking going back to like a family pack. There's like nothing there.
Well, you tell me about it. I've never cooked so much in my life.
I'm eating so much. It's fucking so bad. And like, I know we had this chat. I need to go to the gym because I've got some weights downstairs because we can't go to the gym. They're all closed. I was like, I have to get some weights because actually that was the first thing I had to do when we went into this whole isolation. I had to like search everywhere for weights because that's the only thing that gets my mental health on track. Without doing some form of physical exercise and focusing on me and taking like 45 minutes out, I'm a fucking mess.
So that's how you kind of get yourself back on track. And, you know, if you're feeling a bit down, you just go and do some gym work, and that helps.
Literally just put my headphones in, smash some music, and then do some gym work. And even if it's just half an hour, like, fuck, I would have never thought 2 years ago I'd be like promoting the gym and talking about health and exercise, and because I was just like, fuck it, like, whatever. But now I'm just like, nah, you have to do it.
Because you were doing radio for a little bit, I saw. What happened there?
Yes, no, I'm still doing it here, but it stopped because of the COVID-19. Yeah. They've canned my show for a bit because a lot of us weren't allowed in the studio. And because I moved place I've just moved place in the past 3 weeks, from the city out to the bush here in Melbourne. They can't really provide me and move around a lot of equipment. So I've got I think it's canned for another few weeks, which actually, in a way, it's kind of helped me being canned because I've focused on my business and launched that, made that success. And now I can go back into doing my breakfast and Monday shows here as well.
You're a busy man. You've just got your hand in all the cookie jars. I don't know if that's the same, but.
I think that's the same. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
We're going to make that a saying.
It's hard work. It's fucking hard work, though.
Yeah, yeah, but I will. It'll pay off for you, I reckon. You're looking.
I hope so.
I'll have to come over if I'm ever in Melbourne. I'll have to come and jump on the show.
No, absolutely. Definitely. I'd love that. And honestly, it's so fucking hard doing the show by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got no one to bounce. Like, obviously, I have either callers and interviewers or people coming to the studio, but doing it by yourself, oh my God, I never realized how hard it was.
Yeah. Radio, it's really funny. Like, you know, when you're doing radio and you get all these comments and stuff from people and they're like, oh, you suck. Radio's so easy. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? You want
to It's stop. Not. And because of this, I never did radio before this. Obviously, the only time I did radio was coming over at random interviews and like being the person being interviewed, and then now being behind the mic and leading your own show. It's like, fuck.
Yeah,
you've got to come up with some ideas. You've got to fight. Yeah, it's weird, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. Radio is very, very fun. What's You're Melbourne probably, like? Because that's the gay capital, isn't it?
Oh, it's fucking awesome. Like, I've seen such a mess. What?
I've never been to Melbourne. I've heard so much about it, but I've never been.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, you need to come here, and if you're ever here, hit me up, and I'll take you to all the gay bars and everything, and just the cool hotspots.
Yes! I'm down.
But it's fucking, yeah, but no, it's good. I find people here, you still get your little tall poppy syndrome here, and people here love to help other people succeed and help small businesses and help talk about people's things. And just, I think the major word there is just help. They love help and support them. And I think I've noticed that so much more than New Zealand. I think I've even reached out to a few people in New Zealand who are friends, influencers, or been in the TV space to help me with my brand back home in New Zealand. Mm. They just ignore your messages because they think they're entitled to getting paid, or they think they're entitled to something much more. But then again, they're the first person to ask you for something as well.
That's interesting.
Which is why, I'm just like, oh. And it's happened in the past week. I've asked them, but they've ignored me. But then they've come back to me and asked for something. So I've just ignored them.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Because, I mean, I want to go back to Melbourne quickly because obviously I've never been there, so I'm really intrigued about it because I hear so much. Yeah. Here in New Zealand, I feel like slowly, you know, we're becoming, creating this platform to be a lot more bigger. Like, we've got Big Gay Out. We've got Pride festivals that are happening. Media is getting on board a lot more. We've still got a long way to go, but slowly, you know, building. Yeah. What does Melbourne have in the way of that kind of stuff? Do you guys have, like...
So I feel like they've got something like every few weeks. There's always something. There's always like a gay day out in the park somewhere because I think Melbourne or Victoria alone is like the size of New Zealand.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So there's always something in certain cities or suburbs. There's always something sick being celebrated. Like even just like you've got Family Bar in Auckland. You've got Family Bar, the gay bar there. You don't really have big nights happening there. It's just kind of like a Friday night go out there. But here, you've got like the Puff Job clubs on Friday nights. They'll have a big extravaganza night, something big promoted there. So a lot of people actually go there. You've got all these other things that happen all the time. So actually, it's weird to now think that because Family Bar back home, it's like there's nothing that happens there. It's dead. But here, there's always something going. There's so many different gay bars. It's great.
I feel like that's crazy because here in New Zealand, I feel like we build ourselves up for, you know, Pride Week or Pride Month. And then what the heck actually happens for the rest of the year? You know, like here we're like, oh my gosh, cool, amazing. Yeah. We get a big gay out or we get this. I'm grateful that we get that. But then you're sitting there and you're like, damn, Melbourne has something like every couple of weeks or so. That's crazy. Yeah.
Like even just a club every week, there's always something being celebrated. It's
wow.
And I guess even you've got lots of LGBTI singers here, like I guess all people that advocate for the LGBTI community. So when they small things like when they do a performance, they might do a pop up club or something. Mm. It's focused at the LGBTI community, or they talk about it. And I think that's really cool because in New Zealand that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, nah. I was gonna say that doesn't happen here at all. Wow.
No, like you've got big icons here. Well, you've got like. I don't know if you probably don't know, or maybe because you're a muser, but like Ricky Lee, you've got Samantha Jade, you've got all these people, you've got Delta Goodrum, they're all big names and they're all advocates for the LGBTI community. So when they do performances or pop-ups here, there's always a focus point around that, which I think is great.
I'm just jotting down Delta Goodrum. I would love her to be on the Bloomin' podcast. How amazing would that be?
Get her in.
Delta, please. Come on down. Yeah. All right, cool. I just really quickly before I'm going to get into a Dear Diary question. That's a thing we do where the listeners ask a question and then I'll ask you.
Okay.
I want to back to when I'm still shocked that you are half Samoan. I had no idea. That's so cool.
I think
so
a lot
cool.
of people are.
I know a lot of Samoans and like just the island cultures in general are quite religious. And I just wanted to ask, was that the case for you growing up? Was there any like a religion involved? Did you ever struggle with like?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely was. And my Samoan side, they're all Seventh-day Adventists. So even just growing up, I had to go to church on the weekends, all that kind of stuff. And then as I guess became a teenager, I guess my dad and that were like, okay, we don't want to push this as much on you. You can kind of form your own opinion and be yourself, which is really good. But yeah, when I came out, my dad, which I thought he would be really weird of me coming out. Like I was shit scared of him more than my mum, and my mum took it worse than he did.
Yeah.
Because he's your typical Islander, into footy, like baller maker, engineer, like just a bloke.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's probably one of my biggest supporters. It's great. But he, what did he say? I think he did mention, something. He goes, just be careful about what some of the family members might say. Well, they might have an opinion. But funnily enough, I think he was just preparing me just in case that was the case. But they were fine. They didn't even change, which was weird because I thought that they would be, they would judge me and be going to church and having this religious background that they think it's wrong. But yeah, I didn't get that at all. Maybe as soon as they go through the church, I don't know, it sounds stupid. As soon as they go to church, like, yes, it's wrong. But as soon as they leave, it's like, nah, we're cool. It's weird how that works.
I've found that like a couple of people that I've spoken to, same for me as well, because I mean, I'm not necessarily religious in here in New Zealand. I don't really have family that are like religious or anything like that. But back home in the Cook Islands, extremely. My uncle was like a pastor. I go to church every time I'm over there. And you know, like I love it. I'm all for that. But I guess I'm just maybe like a little bit more careful of, you know, just I guess out of a respect thing as well when I'm over there, you know, like I wouldn't go and like kiss my girlfriend in front of my family or anything.
Oh, no, yeah, no. And see, no, I'm the same actually. I wouldn't. There's a place and a time, so yeah, I think especially the Islander side, and I think it's always about respect, and it's all about especially respecting your elders and being appropriate around them and stuff like that. So yeah, no, I am with you on that. I would never actually do that, but I don't even do that in general anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, it doesn't matter actually on the religion. I probably wouldn't go and do that anyway.
I wouldn't do that anyway. I'd be like, yeah, it's weird. Like even if I, because I've had female partners, I don't even do that. Like it was weird.
Yeah. Are you single at the moment?
I am, yes.
You are? Do you have any like wishes for like kids and marriage and stuff in the future? Marriage again?
Kids, yes. Kids, yes, 100%. Marriage, 50-50. I don't know.
Been there, done that.
I think we'll have to. been there, done that. That was a disaster and a flop, so we won't do that again. But yeah, no, I think both, but definitely probably I'd say 10 years.
Can I ask you a really weird question?
Yeah, go.
Okay. If someone was to approach you for your sperm, what would you say?
Oh, shit. I'd be like, how much are you offering?
Because like this is a real thing, like for me personally, like obviously thinking about kids not for like a couple of years yet, but yeah. I'm just like, where the heck, like you can go and get it and like wait for like a couple of years and spend a whole lot of money, but then I'm just like, who do I know that would like, have you ever been approached for that before?
No, I haven't. I have been asked that question before, but I've never been approached for people to actually do it. But no, I'll probably just like offer it willy-nilly. I'll be like, yeah, have some.
You can make a little side business. You're an entrepreneur. You're a businessman. Little puddles. I'll be like, oh,
yeah, little puddles. Start selling them online. It's like an extra little token.
Like next minute, there's like, oh my God. Samuel Levi, sperm bank. I'm like, damn it, some idea. Yeah.
Imagine the money I could get for that. That'd be a great little investment, actually.
Exactly. You're a cool dude. You're good looking. There you go.
Yeah.
It'd be hot off the press.
Oh, my God. Actually, imagine. Now I'm just imagining. I'm like thinking my business mind's working. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. I see something.
Just be careful, though, because, like, you know, if you give out puddles here and there, you'll have, like, kids galore. And then in, like, 20 years, you'll have all these kids rock up to your door being like, hi, you're my dad.
I have to put, like, little T's and C's on it being like, okay, I don't want any financial strain. I don't want any financial anything to do with it. It's just this. This is just the offering.
That's crazy. Okay, cool. So I'll ask you a Dear Diary question. This is the listeners, and they come through on my Instagram, Dear Diaries of a Diet. And just ask things that they want to be answered pretty much. So there's no wrong answer. Just feel free to say what you want. But this one's coming through saying, "Dear Diary, how do you message someone without coming on too forward, but without coming across as just a mate?"
I would just say, it's just all about confidence. And it's all how you write things, I think. It's all how you write things, because a lot of people can take things how you write differently. I know I do that with people. I think sometimes when people message you back going okay or a thumbs up, I'm like, okay, are you shitty?
And
you're like, no, I was just in the middle of a meeting, or I was just like things. But I think it's that one, I would say just be confident, maybe add a little X on the end, X or a little wink face, or just do something a little bit, add something that shows a flirtatious side, I'd probably say.
The good old like side smirk, eh? Like this emoji.
Yeah, like
that wasn't a side smirk. Pretty much on like, the camera.
That was not a side smirk.
That looked like I was having like a freaking fit or something.
A bit of a seizure. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, how do you float? Like, if you're flirting with someone, how are you sliding into the DMs? What's your like go-to pickup line?
Oh shit. See, I hate going back to maths. Since maths, I've never slid into someone's DMs.
You must get heaps slid into yours though.
I used to. You'll be surprised to get a lot of dick pics randomly. I probably get every second day I get this dick pic sent to me. I'm like, okay, like
what is great. What is that, eh? I had someone, I had to block them, and I was just getting dick pics sent every night. But I was like, why? Like what do you want me to text back? Be like, oh my god, like, that is such a beautiful.
Or do they want one back or something? Because I'm like, half the time the ones I get sent, they look mutated. They look disgusting. I'm like, come on, like if you're gonna send me one, at least make it look nice, or at least hold it decent. Like, don't make it look like you're just like slopped it in your hand and it's just fucking there.
Like angles, work your angles, man, honestly.
I know. But the funny thing is, because I get on Insta, I click on their profiles, so I see who they are, which is even worse. Like, I know who these people, I can visualize who these people are. Like, it's kinda awkward.
Like there's pictures of like them and their families and stuff like that.
Literally,
and-
yeah. Yeah.
Gosh,
or the worst one actually is when you click on them and like let's say their dick's ugly as, and then you click on them and you're like, fuck, that person's really hot, but like they've got a yuck dick, so it's like, nah.
what's a yuck dick though? What do you mean?
Oh, coming
from a gay guy, what's a yuck
dick? Oh my god, I don't know actually. just think of like a random piece of meat just lying there that just looks like mutated. Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's someone that doesn't, like, trim or clean, or just looks dirty.
Ooh.
Which is weird, because you'd think a lot of gay guys would be clean and love to, like, be represented in all areas. Mm. Some of them aren't. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the worst.
I feel like there's a lot of different gay guys these days. Like, it's 2020, you know? Like, sometimes it's hard to even know if they are or not. Same with, like, lesbians.
Well, I didn't know you were gay.
I
messaged her. I was like, wait, you have a girlfriend?
Surprise.
I had no idea. Like,
yeah, well, I'm not really into labels as much, but I'm like a pansexual. So like I'm into like guys and girls, but I'm not like by their genitalia. I just go off what I feel. And, you know, I've been with men, I've been with women. I feel like I'm more like emotionally, mentally connect to women a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So is the sex the same? Do you find the sex the same? Like, do you find all the passion?
No, women are
totally different.
A lot better. Yeah. But
oh really? Maybe they just know how to like, this is probably a really personal question. Maybe women know how to get women off because they know what they want done to them. Is it? I think that's like how the same with men.
Yeah, probably. But I guess the difference is between like people always ask me this, but like when you're having sex with a woman, the goal is like to orgasm, but to give them an orgasm, mm-hmm. right? But when you have sex with a male, their goal is to orgasm. So it's completely different, like, reasons for having sex. So like if you're having sex with a male, they come, cool, that's it, you know? But when you're having sex with a girl, you know, there's no time limit. You can control that kind of thing. You know, they don't have to stop once you with woman. Well, maybe I've just never met a male that I've connected like on that level with, but with females, it's just this whole different level of like passion and emotion and connection. So for me, like sex needs that. Like it's not just purely physical. Like I can have sex that's purely physical, but that'll be it. Like I won't connect to on any level, but great sex to me is like, you know, if you can like mind fuck me, then that's like the best. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? This is such a random thought, and I've always thought of this. Sometimes I think like sometimes I need to have sex with a female just once, because obviously the last time I had sex with a female was in my kind of teenage years. I need to do it see what the connection would be like now. But now I'm like, that's fucking weird, isn't it?
You could have like a, have you ever thought of like a threesome?
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that. And yeah, and kind of see which way I sway towards more. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm definitely gay or I'm definitely into this. Like, I just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, like, you know, if you're kind of like curious and you're like, oh man, well, what would I feel like towards a woman? But then you still have your safe zone. The penis is right there. So you could like, you know.
Yeah, it's through the safe zone.
chop and change.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, crazy. God. Good chats. All right, cool. Well, we'll end it on the sex talk. I think that was really, really good. I'll let you get back to your busy schedule because you're blooming doing, you're doing your business. What was it? One figure beauty. One figure beauty. You've got your radio job that you're going to go back to once the lockdown's over. You're just a very busy man, and I really appreciate your time coming on this this podcast.
No, you look thank like you for having me on here.
You're living your best life in Melbourne. I promise that once this is over, I don't know when the heck I'm going to be able to leave the country next,
when you do, come over, definitely. More than welcome. If you need a place to stay, just come stay here.
Yeah, and if I need sperm, I'll hit you up. Sweet, cool.
Hit me up. And if you know any hot gay mates, let me know as well, because I'm always looking for a partner.
Well, hey, if anyone's listening right now, Samuel Levi, look him up on Instagram, or if you're watching the video, you know what he looks like. He's single.
Oh, my God, but is this video going to be up as well?
Yeah, I'm probably going to chuck the video up too. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I look disgusting.
Don't like that's why
I've literally just been here slouched over the whole time. I'm just like,
the one thing that pisses me off about you is that whatever you're wearing, like you're wearing a what bloody gray sweatshirt, like a skivvy right now. I'm like, how the fuck do you look that good, man? Can you not?
Oh, don't look at a big head. Don't.
Hey, well, thanks so much for your time. Did you wanna leave this on anything? Did you wanna finish and say anything?
No, just thank you for your time. Gays, just be nice and kind. Stop being pretentious. And I think you'll probably hear this. I think probably one thing, you'll probably hear this topic a lot from gays being like, gays are horrible, gays are this, that. Like, so there's obviously a trend, or there's obviously something that's going on. So I think everyone just needs to just be kind to one another and just be yourself and kind. I think that's the only thing. Don't be a prick.
And with that, I'll leave you. Samuel Levi, everybody.